Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Think about this from the devil's point of view. Here's his dream. And now all of a sudden, the Son of God was in his grasp and he thought he had won. And all of a sudden, he realizes he's gone. He's gone to heaven and I can't get to him. And the message is going out. Man, if I were the devil, I would do everything in my power to thwart that. But what did Jesus say on one occasion when they accused him of casting out devils because he was in league with the devil and it was just all a big trick? That's what they were saying. He said, how can Satan, if Satan is against himself, his kingdom won't stand. If his kingdom is divided, how can Satan cast out Satan? I tell you, the only way that can happen is if you're going to rescue somebody from a strong man, you're going to have to bind the strong man, and then you can go in and spoil his goods. You're going to take something from him, I guess, in this case. You see what Jesus was really saying about what was going to happen in world history? Do you think the gospel would have gone to the ends of the world if Satan had had unfettered access to be able to do that? No, he wasn't. And that's something the Lord has revealed, I believe, in a particular way. But I don't need special revelation. I can see it in the Scriptures. Because that's what we need to go by ultimately. We need to go by the fact that in order for the gospel to go out, there had to be a restriction, a divine restriction on Satan's ability to oppose the gospel. Praise God. And we call it the binding of Satan. I'm going to go to something that will be, I'm like I say, I have mixed feelings about trying to get into all this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Well, look at the scripture that we use so many times in Revelation 12. You remember how the child was born and Satan, the dragon, tried to kill it, and then it was caught up to heaven, and then there was war in heaven? You remember what happened? What happened to Satan? He lost a place in heaven. He was cast down to the earth and became aware that he only had a short time, and so he was filled with wrath, with anger. But the word tells us in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Do you see the victory that was won there? And Satan literally lost a place. There was a restriction that was placed upon Satan. Now here's one that really, a lot of people I don't believe see, and that's in Revelation chapter 20. Considering the time, I'm jumping out on a limb here, but I'm going to do it anyway. You see that prophecy of the 1,000 years. Now, if you were a Jew reading this, what would you assume? Hearing about a kingdom that was established in a rule and authority for 1,000 years. What would you assume by that? It's a natural earthly kingdom. Okay? This book of Revelation is filled with symbols, and a lot of people think, oh, if it's not literal, if you can't touch it or see it, it's not real, it's just vague. Oh, it's real, all right. But a symbol stands for something that is very, very real. Folks, this is real, but it's not the way people have taken it. There was a restriction placed upon Satan. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain, he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free a short time. Well, now you could read that and say, oh, praise God, the influence of Satan is gone. Life is going to be glorious and wonderful. You want to know what the binding was about? How do you know what the binding was about? How about looking down to the loosing? Think about that. If you want to know what this restraint upon Satan was really about, look at what happens when the restraint is released. And you come down to the end, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to do what? To deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to do what? To gather them for battle and so forth. And he goes around all over the world and he encompasses the camp of the saints. This is Satan being allowed to one last opportunity to try to fulfill his dream. Throughout the ages, Rome eventually fell, the great empire. There have been other empires. There have been other people that have risen up and tried to dominate the world. Hitler was certainly one of them. And no one has succeeded. Do you wonder why? Do you think just maybe Christ is on his throne and says, it's not time. We're not there yet. There are people that I'm reaching out to right now. The gospel is going out in power. And Satan, you can't do anything that I don't let you do until the time. Folks, the era in which we live, we are seeing in our lifetime the unfolding of the last loosing of Satan. See, this kingdom that he talks about is real. There is real authority, but it's in the spiritual realm. It's real. It affects life on earth. But it's not a political thing where you're going to have a reporter go in and interview Jesus and say, what's your policy about this? And get real. This is not that kind of a kingdom. He reigns, but he's on a throne where beyond the reach of every devil. And every time he has tried to stop the gospel from going out, God has overruled. In fact, many times it's when things are most difficult that the gospel has gone out with the greatest power. In China, they thought they had squelched the gospel. They had stamped it out with a great cultural revolution. And then all of a sudden, God began to raise up a younger generation, and they began to go out, and all of a sudden, you wound up with something like 100 million people, Christians, in a place where it could cost you your life. We keep getting reports out of Iran. You think Iran is a tough place to be a Christian? The word coming out of Iran is the mosques are empty. And Christians are meeting in little groups in homes. I'll tell you, God has a way of reaching. His power reaches past what the devil does. But we are in that last time when Satan is being allowed to go out into the earth and to seduce men with his lies and to try to gather them together. You want to know why the world is in such upheaval? Obviously, he's used this disease. It's become an instrument of control, greater control. You can argue the merits and demerits of this. That's not the point. But Satan is being allowed to do so many things. There are natural disasters that are happening. And seemingly, the economic issues that are we see that our society being torn apart because groups are being pitted against one another. And it's just nothing but anger and hatred and name-calling on both sides. That's part of the world we're living in. The devil is being allowed to tear apart the fabric of our world because he has a dream. And for a short time, God is going to allow him to seemingly fulfill his dream. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like for us. I haven't got a neat little chart that tells you when and where and all, exactly what's going to happen, but I do know what the Lord has showed us, but what I see in the Word is enough. He is being allowed to pursue his dream. He's being allowed to do something that he couldn't do for almost 2,000 years. And suddenly, okay, it's time. We are in the last hour of Earth's history. And I guess if I had to bring this down to what that means for us. First of all, we need to live with the reality of what's going on. One of the things that we are encouraged to do, because I'll just refer to a scripture you know about. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about how suddenly things are going to end. Absolutely out of the blue, as far as the world is concerned, they will have no clue what's about to happen, and suddenly Christ will appear. And we know from putting all the scriptures together, it means the end. It means the end of planet Earth. When God's going to gather his people, and disaster will fall upon this planet, and judgment will follow. But what does he say to us? It's high time. I am going to look it over. Look up the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to get it right. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. That's pretty sober language, isn't it? But, glorious but, you brothers and sisters are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep at night, those who get drunk at night, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Praise God, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that is, whether we're still alive or have died prior to this, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you were doing. Folks, God wants his people to be awake. Interesting. I can't remember exactly where, but one of the scriptures I read was a piece in Isaiah that talked about how God has to deal with the wicked. And basically what it says, to paraphrase, is if God blesses the wicked, they don't get it. They don't learn anything about righteousness. They don't appreciate it. They just take it for granted and think it's an affirmation of what they're doing. The only way the wicked could possibly learn about righteousness is to be judged and to suddenly face some form of judgment. And now all of a sudden, oh my God, you know, something's wrong. And in that context, God can actually reach some people. You wonder why things get difficult. How else is God going to reach those that he's going to reach? And you're going to see the same thing that we've seen throughout history. You're going to see people migrating into two camps, and it's going to become very evident the further we go which camp somebody's in. Right now, there's still a scattered remnant. God knows his people. And I pray this often, God, I want to be just as open as I need to be to every brother, every sister. I also want to be discerning, because I'm not smart enough to figure all this out. God is. We need him. Do you see the connection with things that the Lord has emphasized lately? How much we need to be walking with the Lord, how much we need to be looking to him in a practical sense, allowing him to live through us. But you know, I got way into this before I suddenly said, my God, this is the next logical next step for what we talked about last week. Because now the question is, okay, what do we do? Do we just hunker down, find a cave somewhere and wait this out? And okay, Jesus, you're here. Here's the thing that jumped out at me as I was thinking about this. The more I was thinking about this, do you think it's an accident that you're here? Do you think that it's an accident that you and I are alive at this very moment? If we serve a God who plans and purposes the way it is described everywhere in Scripture, then God has a reason for you being here, and you, and you, and me. We're not just here as digits, numbers on a page, numbers, you know, some vague membership in a vague kingdom somewhere. There is a reason we're here. How many times have we heard it referred to? Was it Ruth? Not Ruth. Esther. That's what I'm thinking of. Esther found herself in a very, very unlikely place, a Jewish girl, as the queen of a heathen empire. But yet, when the time came that there was an evil man who had a plot against the Jewish people, guess what? She was right there. And her uncle said, "Who knows, but that you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this." And she had a critical role to play. Jesus came into this world in the fullness of time. It was an expression of God's heart and God's purpose. He was there not by accident. This is his time. And we talked last week about how Jesus lived when it came time, especially for ministry. He says, "The Father is working and I work." He didn't get handed a handbook of what the Father wanted him to do and go out and do it in his own wisdom. His whole ministry was devoted to just seeking God, walking with him, basically saying, "Father, what are you doing? What's your plan?" And if there wasn't something to do right then, he didn't do it. Didn't try to figure it out. Didn't try to plan. He just listened to what his Father said, and he did it. And by all human reckoning, it didn't make much sense. You would think after he had gone to a few places and healed everybody that was sick, that would define his ministry. My God, look what God's doing. Let's go out and organize this. But he'd leave there and he'd go to some out-of-the-way place and heal one person. He'd preach to crowds and he'd preach to one person. And when he healed them, he didn't even do it the same way. You know, we've talked about that before. There was this relationship that I believe God wants to bring his people to, where we know we're not accidents. We're not here to do our own thing. We're here to be alert and awake, to realize where we are in history. Satan has tried throughout history to fulfill his dream. Jesus went to a throne and said, you're restricted in what you can do. You can't fulfill your dream until I'm done sending the gospel to the ends of the earth. And now at the end, okay, go for it. But in the very context of what Satan is being allowed to do, God is finishing his job. We're not supposed to just sit here and watch the devil and see what he's doing. We're here to look to God and say, "God, what are you doing?" Because we are absolutely called to the kingdom for such a time as this. It doesn't matter who we are or who we aren't, how big or how small our place is. Every one of us has a place. Every one of us can rest in God and speak as he speaks and act as he acts. May God help us to seek him. Many times we refer to the prophecy. It goes right back to Daniel. It's one of the things the Lord showed him out of the Book of Truth was that there was going to be a wicked emperor come around. It was a descendant of one of the generals that had been under Alexander. And he came in to Israel with great anger, and he absolutely desecrated their temple. He took a hog and slaughtered it on the altar and rededicated the temple of God to a heathen god. Remember which one. And it says he corrupted many because of flattery. He came in, he knew how to manipulate the people. But what did it also say? But those who know their God will be strong and do exploits, firmly resist him, take action. The original is so simple, it's just take action is a pretty good way to do it. They're not going to be paralyzed by fear. They're going to be able to say, "God's still on the throne. We're here for a reason. God, just show us what to do. Give us the courage and the faith to do it, and to do it with the energy you supply." That's kind of simple, but it's kind of hard for us, isn't it? Oh, man, we want to jump in there. We want to get it done. We want to see a need and fix it. And God said, "I have a plan that has been unfolding from all eternity. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And those who come to me, I will never drive away. We don't know his times. We don't know his ways. We can't do God's work. God has to do his work. But the glorious thing is he wants to do it through us. He has a people that he longs to work in harmony with and through, just as he did his son, just as he did the prophets, just as he did ordinary people in the New Testament. It's not who you are in the natural. It's who he is. But oh, I'll tell you, it's not going to be long. You see it unfolding? I don't know how long it's going to take. Things could just suddenly gel. It's easy to see what's happening in America. It's not the America we grew up with. Those of us who are older especially. Young people, you have no idea how it's changed. But Satan is being allowed to capture the hearts and minds of those who just don't want God. Some of them want religion, but they don't want God. They don't want Christ to rule in their hearts. And I'll tell you, when you start down that road, it's darkness, it's deception. And all Satan has to do is just to tear apart the fabric and then raise up a hope. Present it to humanity. Here is your way forward. We're going to get together. We're going to govern the planet together. We're going to be united at justice for everybody. You're going to hear those kinds of things. You're hearing them now. But I'll tell you, it's happening under our eyes. Don't you just go to sleep and think life is going to get back to normal. There is no normal in this world. We are on a track. We are on a trajectory toward the coming of Christ. As the Word says, it'll be an absolute shock to this world. But oh, what an awesome thing it will be for those of us who are alive and remain. If we've gone on, we'll come back with him to meet those who are still here. But if you're still here, oh my God. Won't it be something to have an angel fly up to you, take you by the hand, and lead you up to be with the Lord forever? And your body will be changed like that. Like that I can't wait for. These old bodies that are getting more and more wrong with them. But there's one coming that nothing will ever be wrong with it. And we're going to stand there and we're just going to be blown away with the greatness of his plan. Yeah, I know there's a lot of terrible stuff happening in the world. But God is allowing men to taste the fruit of what they have chosen. There's no way he can bless the human race and bring them out of what's going on. We're going to have to see iniquity for what it is. But that's another story. But anyway, maybe that's more than enough for today. That's a big picture. But do you see Satan's sitting out in his dream and God continually interrupting it all the way along until he really interrupted it at the resurrection? And all of a sudden, there's a period of history when Satan was restricted from his dream. He was allowed to oppose the gospel, but not to unite the nations. Okay? And then at the end, there's this little period of time when he is allowed to pursue his dream, but we know how the story ends. It ends suddenly with the coming of Christ, and then the judgment, and then eternity. I'll tell you, you need to be on one side or the other. You are on one side or the other. You could be sitting here, and you've never, never really opened your heart and seen who Jesus is and how much God loves you and his purpose for your life. I can't do that for you. I pray God will. I pray that God, I tell you, if God lays somebody in your heart, pray for them. It makes a difference. Sometimes we want to jump in and try to fix it and try to get somebody. We need to say, God, you are the one who, they're the only one who can change somebody's heart. Lord, do it. And we can't be dismayed by how people react or don't react. We're going to have to say, God, you know. You know everyone that is yours, and everyone that is yours will stand there in white one day because of what Jesus did, because of the heart and the purpose of God. Praise God. I mean, you can go on and on talking about this, but I tell you, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, not because we're anything, but because of the heart and the purpose of God. You and I are alive today, not in the 1800s or the 1500s or whatever. We're here now because God, in his purpose, in eternity knew about this time and ordained that you and I live right now. We need to live with that awareness and saying, God, help me to fulfill my purpose as a part of your purpose. May the purposes for which I live align with your purposes. That's what God is looking for from his people. And I believe he's going to draw a people together more and more that will live in harmony with that eternal purpose. Satan has his dream, but God has his purpose. We know which one wins. To him be the glory. Praise God.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.